All right, we are back.
Yep.
We're going to have about 20 minutes of audio but no video. But that's all right. That's what happens here.
Yep.
Because we, at the end of the day, are a bunch of doofs who don't know what the fuck they're doing. But we're learning, goddammit.
Yep.
So.
Steadily.
Just to describe to you what's going on here. So just a quick aside.
Mm-hmm.
This bad boy, this white board here.
Yeah.
Is the mixer that manipulates all of the input signals. So microphone signals, camera signals, everything comes into here. This then auto mixes and then sends to a piece of recording software called OBS, which stands for Open Broadcasting Software. And OBS captures and records the actual image. But the problem is that OBS, in my experience, is a finicky program and likes to crash. Which is really a bad thing for a recording piece of software.
It's the number one thing you should look out for.
Yeah.
I guess, right?
Yeah. So I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like a script on this particular laptop that for whatever reason doesn't like OBS. It's only the second time it's ever happened. And thankfully, neither time we were particularly deep into a program. But anyways, there's a lot. We were talking in the non-video portion about the, you know, common person now knowing how to set up essentially what is a TV studio in their apartment.
Yeah.
And I now understand why that was a college major.
Yeah.
That was a thing that you went to college for. It is a steep learning curve.
Yeah. Wow. All those little things to look out for that might cost you more time. Like, could be avoided, I guess.
But we were actually talking about niching your way to the top.
Yeah.
And I had a question to ask you about in regards to that particular topic. So my question for you is, as somebody who's interested in building their own business within the sphere of fitness, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever put, I'm not saying you should have or shouldn't have, I'm just purely asking you a question, curious as to the answer.
Okay.
Is there a part of you that wonders if I became the X guy, would I be more successful, or would I be able to expedite the process of constructing a business or constructing an audience if you just bought into something? I don't know what it is. Maybe you're the guy who teaches girls how to powerlift.
Right.
Maybe you're the bracing guy. Maybe you're the dead bug guy. You could just do dead bugs.
That sounds like a terrible niche.
I think you should be the dead bug guy. That's my personal
vote. That
sounds
like how you lose fitness. But no, yeah. I mean, that's what I'm kind of looking into like a little bit more now. I've been like kind of like thinking about it for a while, which is, to answer your question, yes, I do think that's important because if you're just amongst like a sea of people who are good at, who do everything, then you kind of like all more or less look the same. Then like what's separating us? Like why would you choose me over somebody else? And it could just be like, I don't know. It's hard to determine, I guess, maybe what makes you successful at that point. Also, I think, too, like, one of the things I was thinking about was creating a kind of a remote coaching or just fitness business that my niche market is people like, you know, I think probably the best thing is to work with people who are kind of like you or were you or who you know a lot about because you were that at one point. And I like gaming and I still always do. And it's still one of the things I like to do at the end of the day. But I also know the problems of like, if you're one of those people who like can literally lose track of time and just sit on the computer or whatever for like 10 hours a day, it's not a good place to have your life in. Not that I was ever that bad, I don't think, but like, definitely times. But, if I appeal to a, you know, what is a gamer interested in? What do they like? I kind of know it. And I still relate it to fitness all the time. That might be something that's an avenue worth going down. Cause I've looked and I don't really see any other,
openings,
businesses doing that I see it as an opportunity. And I think, kind of like if you know the pain points of a specific population, you know how you can kind of alleviate them and speak to them.
So you're either going to be the dude who gets gamers jacked.
Yeah, man. I'm getting people off. You can be like, you just get them a little bit healthier because I think they're very like, very competitive. One, you know, they like getting better. There's also an aspect of like fitness or training or whatever that is relatable to like character customization.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
I think there's a lot there. Or if you also, if like, for example, if you don't like write out straight sets, if you know what I mean, but if you gamify it in a way, like I'm working with somebody right now who is definitely like games a lot and spends a lot of time at their computer. And I just try to communicate things in terms of a game. Because that's kind of also what goal setting is like, what are the rules of the game that we're trying to play? And can you play by those rules? It works out really well. So far, it's worked out really well. So it's something yes, to answer your question before, do you think that's a road you should go down? Yeah, I think you probably should. Not to say you can't work with other people, but I think it's probably a wise idea. Because I think it's probably true for everybody. Like, what was the simple reason also is, like, another thing you could touch on is, like, what was the thing that got you into what you were doing, right? There's something going on in your life you know, that got you into that, and you decide to make a change or make a switch or something like that. It's really relatable for a lot of people.
I never knew, like, I did know, so I shouldn't speak so, you know, expeditiously. I don't know if that's the right usage of that word. It sounds good.
Yeah, that's okay.
I don't know if I should speak so boldly. I think that's the word I was actually searching for, mm-hmm. but I failed to realize just how big gaming truly was. I mean, when you go to the largest channels on YouTube,
yeah,
it has to be 70 of the top 120 are gaming related. Like, yeah.
dude, it's fun to watch people play games.
It's
some
so
reason.
Strange that it is, yeah. But it is.
Yeah,
and I remember thinking, you know, I had this friend. Shout out to Frank, my buddy Frank. He, in retrospect, was terrible at letting other people play games when he went over his house.
Yeah, he's like one of those people you would just watch him.
Yeah,
I've had friends like that too.
But I never minded it.
Yeah,
and it was always weird. I would often sit there and be like, he'd be like, eventually he would be like, "Do you want to play?" And I'd be like,
and he's just kind of saying it because he feels bad now.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's still nice that he said it.
I used to watch that motherfucker play games for hours, yeah. And there's an element of I enjoyed watching him game more than I actually wanted to play.
Yeah, there's some things that are like that too. Yeah,
and so one of the things I wanted to talk about today, did you watch the Mike Tyson fight?
Yeah.
So did you watch the Jake Paul fight before that?
I saw a little bit of it. My buddy's like really likes him.
He likes Jake Paul.
It's like trash TV, and we both have like our own like trash. It's like not TV, but it's trash YouTube channels.
Yeah.
That we watch, and his is like one of those. So I'm like
Logan Paul, Jake Paul.
I get it. Yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you what, man. Everybody can talk shit on those two brothers. When it comes to boxing, they take it really seriously.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they could actually beat any legitimate boxers, but if you're just a dude who thinks that he's real, like the guy, he knocked that motherfucker out cold.
Yeah. Cold. I don't think that guy had really any training either, though, right?
No, but I mean, he wasn't top level. Like, if I just said right now, hey, this dude wants to fuck you up, he was an all-star NBA player, top of the line, 0.01% athlete.
Yeah, that was his whole like claim, like, I can do this because I'm more of an athlete than this guy, right?
Fucking what? I mean, not only is he an insane athlete, I mean, he's truly like a 0.01%er.
Yeah.
And this guy was 5'9" and was a 3-time slam dunk champion.
Yeah.
Think about that. How tall are you?
5'8", 5'9".
So he is your height and was like through the legs dunking.
Yeah.
Like, that is athleticism, man.
Yeah.
Freak athlete, but he got, I mean, I can understand you say, like, hey, some dude gets in there with a guy who's a little bit more trained, but one guy's a way better athlete. The athlete loses, but it's competitive.
Yeah.
It was not competitive.
It was not. He got his ass handed to him pretty much.
And man, I feel so, so bad for him. I mean, like, that's not so far off from being KO'd cold by Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Like, that's not that far off from
him. Yeah, he kind of, like, he didn't get KO'd, but he just got knocked off his feet so many times.
Yeah. Right. Well, no,
he did get KO'd. Yeah, you're right.
Bad.
Actually, I do remember that. Yeah.
Like, knocked out on his feet, lifeless corpse hit the fucking canvas to KO'd.
Yeah.
So you gotta give it, man. I wouldn't want to fight one of these fucking Paul brothers, man. Like, I haven't trained enough to warrant. Like, these guys have a lot of money.
Okay.
And they fucking, like, they hire real coaches. Like, his brother is coached by Shannon Briggs, who's a multiple-time heavyweight champion.
Yeah, I saw that, too.
Yeah, you know, like, it's they take it seriously. Like, and they've found this weird little, like, grift, almost, where they continue to win fights against guys who don't know how to fight.
Yeah.
But they find a good way. Like, Nate Robinson, this basketball player.
They advertise the shit out of it and make it fun.
Yeah.
People, this stuff, like, people people know these people.
He was the perfect guy for him to fight.
Yeah.
Because he was athletic. He's a former athlete. On paper, should trounce Jake Paul. But Jake Paul knows how to fight a little bit.
But if maybe if you gave that guy, what do you think, if that you gave that guy a little bit more time with actual like boxing training, he would beat?
Oh, God, yeah.
Could, yeah.
Yeah, okay. It wouldn't even be competitive.
I just want to clarify that.
Yeah, I mean, it. Boxing does not reward athleticism. Nobody cares if you're a freak athlete.
Yeah.
Boxing is about the skill of boxing.
Which is still athletic, but sure. Yeah, you don't need to jump. You need to rotate.
Yeah, Tyson Fury is one of the best boxers on planet Earth. I'm sure his vertical is like 20.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need it.
He's got a special brand of athleticism that tends to fit for boxing. He's just a smooth on his feet guy. Footwork, I would say, is the one thing. Just general lower body coordination.
Yeah.
Making sure that your feet are set for each respective strike. Those are the types of things that are sort of positively selected for in boxing.
Right.
Making sure
you can get power through each punch and stay balanced.
But your 40-inch vert, man.
You don't ever jump in boxing.
No. Like, unless you devise some sort of Superman punch.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know the usefulness of something like that. So, yeah. I think that's another little lesson. Like, and that's another thing I'll say about the Paul brothers. And I know I'm coming off as relatively complimentary to them, but, like, they're not fucking tiny dudes.
Yeah.
They're fucking big guys. I think Jake's, what, 6'2", 200? Logan's, like, 6'4", 6'5", like, 220.
Yeah.
Those are big fucking guys. And, man, they've got this great little grift. But anyways, this is all to say the guy that Logan fought and lost to in a controversial manner was this guy KSI.
Yeah, that's the name. No, I remember it.
He's kind of my garbage YouTube channel.
Okay.
I like watching his videos.
Yeah.
He's got a very, like, infectious laugh. He's funny to watch, well, like, at funny things. Like, him just doing, he does, like, a series of videos where he just reacts to his own subreddit.
Yeah.
It's funny. Like, I could just watch this dude react to himself and laugh at shit.
Yeah.
He's my garbage YouTube channel. But he started off just by posting FIFA videos.
Yeah.
Just him playing FIFA. And now he is a top 100 YouTube channel in the world, probably making, it's got to be tens and tens of millions of dollars a year.
Yeah, you can make a lot of money doing that. That's, yeah, they have to be, what, entertaining, right?
Like, mm-hmm.
Probably was really entertaining, interacts with his audience and stuff like that.
Excellent improvisers.
Yeah, streams regularly enough. Yeah, like they don't script anything. It's just, you know, on the fly and shit like that. That's great. yeah, but they got to get it. He probably does other stuff too. It's also like, too, is like, so I know, like, with like going back to like gamers and stuff, some of them would just get so burnt out because that's all they would do.
Yeah.
They would just, like, have to stream every day to either, like, grow or maintain their channel.
Yeah.
And they would be playing, like, they would get almost, like, typecasted into games. Like, this person only plays these types of games. And then, like, so long afterwards, you just get so burnt out and tired of it. You need a break. But it's also their main source of income. And also, too, like, I think for a lot of them, maybe, I don't know for sure. But, like, that was, like, one of their biggest hobbies. And then, like, it's like you with when you were, like, working out a lot, and then it became your job.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
Or it's like you lose that because now it's like the one thing that you enjoyed the most that you're like, oh, you know, it'd be great if I could make money doing this. And then you go and make money doing it, and then it's just like it's the one thing you don't want to do anymore. And then you're like, what do I do? It's like an athlete, right? Like you have that, I don't know, 10-year-long career. That's all you had to do for like 10 years and made a ton of money. You can't play sports anymore. You don't have a backup plan.
I would sing this message from the rooftops for any younger people, or not even younger people, just people who may stumble upon this piece of content and be interested in getting into the fitness industry. Know that it is different for fitness. It's one thing to like interior decorating, and then you become an interior decorator and you get sick of interior decoration. It's one thing to love, I don't know, going to the clubs.
Yeah.
And you work as a bartender for a few years and then it just gets old for a while. It is just different when fitness is your passion and you start to hate fitness. It's fucking different.
Yeah, you have to like...
Because I have been there.
You have to like... you can't just like dump yourself into it and think it's all going to be good just because you liked it before. It's different now. And you have to be careful of like... One, staying interested in whatever you're doing. It could just be simple as, like, you know, trying something new within that realm. Not spending as much time doing it. Like, you know, overworking yourself with it. Having other interests too. That's really important, I think. If you only have one thing, you only have one thing to cling to.
Yeah.
You got one life raft. You're not in a good place, I think.
And I'll tell you, I've talked about this before, but I think it's important enough to discuss again. Many years ago, I was listening to a podcast with Joe DeFranco, and someone wrote into him saying, "Hey, Joe, I want to be the next strength coach. What's going to make me successful? Blah, 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 blah." And his response was worth $1 million. He said, "Do you genuinely want to see others succeed more than yourself in a training and fitness context?"
Yeah.
If the answer is no, don't be a coach. You're doing yourself and your clients a disservice if that is not the case.
Yeah. And I think that's really on the mark too. Still, I haven't gotten to the point where I think there's anything better than that, a better deciding factor. Like if you're questioning it,
if I'm being honest, an enormous reason why I got into fitness. I think most people who get into fitness to the degree that I did have a childhood in which they struggle with whatever feelings of inadequacy, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's for whatever reason. I mean, kids are just self-conscious fuckers no matter any way you slice it.
Right.
And I was no different. So, it was one of the first few things that I really excelled in, right? Like, I really was good at it from day one. From whatever fucking reason, my body is cut in such a way that strength training just came relatively easy to me. Like, I was just watching Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
When I'm not in any way as gifted at training as that character was at the things that he does in the movie.
Math. Yeah.
But I just liked what he said in that his girlfriend is asking him, like, "How the fuck do you do these things?" She's like, "I don't understand. Like, I just gave you college level organic chemistry and you just fucking wrote it out like it was nothing." And he goes, "You know, it's like when I think about a piano, I think about, you know, box of wood, three pedals, and a bunch of keys." He's like, "But for whatever reason, when Beethoven thought of a piano, it was just a language he was able to speak from day one."
Yeah.
And I had that.
It's innate.
Yeah, for strength training. Like, I was never a beginner. Like, this whole hard gainer thing, never worried about that one time.
Yeah.
And it was just the, like, easier, like, I'm the kind of person, like, I basically...
You also liked it, though, probably, like, immediately, right?
Because I was good at it.
Yeah, which helps.
Yeah, it was sort of like a self-affirming, double positive.
A lot of people just like, "I'm doing this because I have to do it." Or,
yeah.
You know, I have to do it, or I feel like I have to do it.
I did it for football and very quickly looked forward to the training much more so than I did the actual...
Playing the game
of football. I could give a shit about football.
Yeah.
Fairly quickly into my career. And was just like, "All right, well, now we're going to my season, the weight room."
Yeah.
And, you know, in many ways, I know Jordan Peterson talks about this, but, like, I was training as a way to create inequality between myself and others.
Yeah.
I saw that as a way to improve myself and make myself... There weren't a lot of ways that I felt better than other people. And this was the thing that I gravitated to because I was naturally good at and found as a way to make myself better than other people, to have things to point to in my trophy closet.
Yeah.
That would say, "This is my fucking thing. This is my area. Fuck off when you come into my area. I'm the expert here." Right?
Yeah.
And
yeah, you ran with it.
If that is your approach to it, I don't know if it's something you should make your profession, because really at the end of the day, like what Joe DeFranco said is true. If you're not entering your career as a trainer with at the forefront of your mind the success of your clients, then you're doing everyone a disservice, including yourself.
Yeah.
I truly do believe that now.
Maybe
because
it's not gonna have...
You'll lose passion for it.
I mean, you never had it really to begin with.
Yeah.
Right? Also. Correct. Too. Because it wasn't really about... It was like for you to make enough money to... I know there's like stories of people like... I've heard, you know, "I just train people so I can afford my competitions."
Yeah.
Or my meats or my food or something like that. For me, it's different. I like training. Still enjoy a lot of it. Like just earlier today, like I noticed that quote came alive again. Is like, I'm training somebody who's just at home. And I was just like, "Yo, you need to get more. We need more like weights. You need to get more, like, not even just equipment." It was like, "You've had this stuff for 2 weeks and I've been on you about it. And I was like, I could tell at that moment I cared more about his progress than he did.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I sometimes found myself there a lot.
I had that conversation with a good friend the other day. He was talking about, I took him over to the gym that we go to. And, well, theoretically, we won't give a date for this recording.
Yeah.
I took him to a place that we work out. And it wasn't a good place for him because it didn't have enough. Like, this guy is kind of done with barbells.
Yeah.
He's just been hurt too many times. And
yeah, which
just,
is fine. It's fine for most people.
Yeah, but he just needs a commercial gym. Like, he would probably do fine at Planet Fitness.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't need significant barbell. Like, for him to say that we have a duffalo bar, it's like,
I don't care.
I don't give a shit. And, or like a hip thrust, or, you know, safety squat, you name it.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't a good fit for him. And
stuff is cool for like a very small amount of people.
Yeah.
It's really cool for a small amount of people, but most people don't know what it is, don't care, and they can't use the standard equipment very well anyway. So it's just, yeah.
You're right. I mean, there's kind of a lot of pre-qualifications that are very low-key necessary for that. Like, you're assuming, to get to the point where you care about a duffalo bar, you're assuming someone even knows how to execute the movement fundamentals well.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of those type of people walking around.
Yeah. We talked about this before, though, too, is your average person just wants to look stronger, be stronger.
Yeah, they want to look good naked.
Look good naked, yeah. They're not the best tools for somebody who wants to do those things. Like, usually the limiting factor in those things is like holding the bar half the time.
Yeah.
Before you're able to get any noticeable stress on the tissue you're actually trying to stress. So like, if your goal is hypertrophy and you want to do a front squat, you're going to be limited by your ability to hold the bar rather than your legs giving out.
Yeah.
You know, same with like a bench press. You know, it's like your pecs don't get tired. You get tired of like being tight.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that little stuff is like, and that doesn't really, it produces some change physically or structurally in the beginning, but it levels off pretty quickly because it's not very stressful on the tissue.
Or then
it's stressful systemically.
You take like a specialty bar, like I'm somebody who doesn't really give a shit about powerlifting anymore just because I'm in the same category. I've just been hurt too many times.
Yeah.
And that sounds like a jaded ex-lover. Like, I've just been hurt too many times. But, like, you know, like an SSB for me is useful because I've actually started, after your recommendation, doing Hatfield squats.
Yeah.
Oh, they're fantastic, by the way.
Oh, yeah, dude. You don't have to, like, hold on to a bar. Your legs are actually the things that fatigue rather than, like, for me, when I'm doing, like, heavy, like, squats or something like that, it's like I'm not, my legs aren't tired. My trunk isn't tired. I can't breathe anymore.
Yeah.
I literally just can't breathe anymore. I'm tired here because I can't breathe and brace again.
Yeah.
And it's good from strength, and that's it's like where it's important. It's like somebody says, I want to get stronger. It's like, okay, do you want to get stronger? What does stronger even mean to you?
Yeah.
It's like, do you want to get stronger? Because you can get strong and not really look much different.
Yeah.
Or you can like develop a whole bunch of muscle mass and that's stronger. Your tissues are stronger. Yeah. Hatfield squats are great, by the way.
They're fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I love them. I don't go very deep just because my back problem seems to really reveal its head, or rear its head, I should say, at like supreme depth.
Yeah.
Like when I go too deep and start to go into flexion and I'm like not aware of it. So like for me, squatting in front of a mirror is of critical importance.
Yeah.
Because I just don't have a lot of kinesthetic awareness of when I've gone too deep.
Yeah.
And I can get deep in a squat, but a lot of that doesn't come from my hips. It just comes from rounding of my spine. Like, it's like when I get to a certain point, I can continue to progress into the depth of the squat, but I'm not actually getting that mobility from more knee flexion.
Your femurs aren't actually,
yeah. It's like I just run out of room, and from there, I just start, my ass gets closer to the ground, but it's just because I'm going into extreme flexion.
Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying.
So for me, squatting in front of a mirror is of critical importance because I just don't have a good feel for when that's happening. I can't feel it. So, what I do now is I just do Hatfield squats in front. And for those who don't know, a Hatfield squat is basically when you squat with a bar on your back and you are holding on to the actual squat rack itself so that you're able to stay relatively upright.
The bar, kind of like, you don't have to hold on to the bar. The way the specialty bar is set, most gyms don't usually have this, but it requires a safety bar. There's handles that sit over the front of
like a harness thing
over your chest. Yeah, almost like your shoulder, so you can like have it on your back and hold it. What I do is I'll set a bar in front of me or a rack in front of me, and you can kind of guide yourself down. And the nice thing about it is if you're trying to get stronger, you can like you don't have to brace all these muscles and tense all these muscles. You can overload yourself. Or if you want to do a pure hypertrophy exercise, you can guide the path of movement up and down because you can make yourself relatively vertical and you're not holding a bar on your back, so you're not getting fatigued from just holding this position and like depriving yourself of oxygen the whole time. You can actually just, you know, move as if you're on like a Smith machine or something like that.
I treated it almost like a leg press where you have constant tension.
I use it in place of a leg press because I don't have one right now.
Yeah. And what I did is I didn't go too deep just because I wanted the constant tension on the quads.
Yeah.
So like I just kind of always, it almost looked, and I didn't go all the way up. I didn't go into full hip flexion at the top or hip extension at the top because I wanted to keep it in the quads.
Yeah.
So I just treated it as like a time under tension exercise for my quads.
Yeah.
And fucking fantastic. So
yeah. Feels
good on you for recommending.
Feels
that.
Good. Yeah.
But, you know, again, going back to our original point, it's like you and I are just getting to the point where we're experimenting with these types of exercises. And we've been doing it for this for what, 10 years plus?
Yeah, the average person, man, they don't need any of this stuff.
I would be terrified to have one of my average clients do a Hatfield squat.
Yeah, no, even just honestly, sometimes like I've said it before, but like even a back squat, I'm like half the time is pointless. I think even a deadlift is like a barbell deadlift is pointless. A barbell RDL is fine, like because most people, what do they want? They want to like. Give them a good basis to like build a lot of muscle, and they do get stronger, and make them work really hard. The other thing too is with a bar on your back, and you're doing a back squat, you're gonna give them like sets of three, sets of five, maybe sets of eight. But again, they don't get to like. You never get to that point where like I don't want to say you reach failure, but. You break down technically before you break down from an effort standpoint.
Yeah.
Meaning, like, if I put somebody in a leg press and I tell them to do sets of eight or six or five or three, like they would on a back squat, they can do those things. And they can say, like, I can ask them, how hard was that? And they can say it was like an 8 out of 10, meaning they had, you know, just translating, they had 2 reps or something like that.
Yeah, which for clients probably means it was an RPE, actually, like 6.
Right. So this is where, like, machines kind of become useful is, like, okay, I'm going to give you 2 sets of 8, and then I'm going to have us do an AMRAP afterwards, and then I can kind of give them proof is, like, your effort is actually nowhere near of what you think it is. It's, like, you think you're working hard, but you had another 12 reps here. So that was really, like, not even on the RPE scale, which in training terms is rate of perceived exertion. So if somebody's at a 2, they have, like, theoretically 8 reps left. Now, for somebody who's new to training, who doesn't have a whole lot of experience, everything is difficult. So if you put them on, that's where machines can be really helpful, is you can make them work really hard without having to teach them much, without having to cue much. So you can, like, get them to work really hard, which is really the main thing we're chasing. I want you to, like, feel what effort actually feels like in work without a whole lot of, like, extra fatigue or anything like that, and we can load the muscles constantly because everything's more or less pretty stable, and there's a very low learning curve.
You know,
it's really, really, really useful.
One thing I would definitely do differently if I ever decided to become a full time, you know, fit pro.
Yeah,
a fit
God,
pro.
I hate that word.
A full time fit
Whatever.
Pro.
It's like I just hate really poppy words.
Yeah, I know. But a fitness professional. So
it doesn't mean anything though.
If I ever were to do that again, I'm pretty sure I would just punt on conditioning.
What do you mean?
I always used to try to have my clients do some conditioning at the end of a workout, and I would never do that again because it was like my views on conditioning have changed so much in that, like, find something you actually enjoy fucking. Like, you're going to need to do enough conditioning where you cannot simply rely upon the 10 minutes of the end of the workout that I give you. And actually fool yourself into believing that you're actually doing any sort of conditioning.
Yeah.
Like, find something that you like to do and do that. Do you like to go to Zumba class? Then fucking do 2 Zumba classes a week. Like, something you could actually start to build real volume in consistently.
Yeah, I think finding something you like is the most important thing. Because if you hate it, it's like anything else. If you hate doing it, you're not going to want to do it.
Yeah.
You don't care how much you're progressing doing it. Yeah, like, find something that's safe, like an assault bike.
Yeah.
Something simple, something that's like, also, I use the word conditioning is like, we usually think of like aerobic or metabolic conditioning, whatever you want to call those, however you want to separate those terms. I think like those terms also, like aerobic is like pretty defined terms, metabolic conditioning.
That means so many different things.
Yeah, a lot of these fitness terms seem to have so many different things, and nobody can agree on what they mean either.
Hey, that's a CrossFit-ism. Yeah, metabolic conditioning.
It is. But conditioning is usually like, I think of it specific in terms of like, what is this particular individual need? What do they need to get better at? Like, if it's like for sport, like for fighting, conditioning makes sense. It's like you have a clock and you need to be able to last this amount of time. And you need to be able to be like powerful for this amount of time. So we should choose exercises within this amount of time that makes sense for you. For a general person, what kind of conditioning do they need? They just need like their heart to function better, and they need to like get a little bit of work going, like and be fatigued in some sense. And also, when I think of conditioning too, it's exercise they're already conditioned with, meaning they don't have to think about them at all.
Yeah. Yep.
Like things that aren't gonna like thinking in a sense where they don't like limit their own like force output, like kettlebell swings. If they know how to do kettlebell swings really well, great. That's awesome. They're not gonna get hurt doing it. Like a sled push is easy. Like,
yeah.
You're not gonna hurt yourself doing a sled push. Doing like snatches, I don't like that.
Yeah. Even burpees. Burpees are fucking risky, man.
Yeah.
Like you run into a lot of like people just start throwing themselves on the ground, fuck up their wrist.
Well, it's also too is there's no tissues trained directly like very well either.
Yeah.
You know, a kettlebell swing, at least we're moving our hips through space. You're moving things relatively fast. You know, choose exercises that you already know really well that you can kind of push like the ceiling of fatigue on.
My clients are going to be pissed if they ever hear me say that I don't like burpees that much. Well, what the fuck have me do them so fucking often for?
Yeah.
I've told them before, though, like, listen, I don't like burpees, but it's a pandemic. You're in your house. I need to get some sort of conditioning effect from you.
Yeah.
Burpees are not a shitty option in that context.
There's a time and a place for my guests with everything. I don't like them either. But what I was going to say, I guess, when it comes to conditioning is with most people, just do what you can. Most of the time, it's just get more movement in. More movement in. And honestly, the thing that will have the most effect to it in regards to what they actually want to do, it's easier to get people to just, like, move more, get them to walk more. It's, like, it's low-hanging fruit, especially right now. Like, if you're in your house all day, you're getting, like, 500 steps, try and shoot for 5,000 or something like that. It won't take you that long. It's probably better for your head. You have easier access to it, and just getting more movement will do much more, I think, for your your BMI. Than trying to will yourself to go do some crazy conditioning workout. And that's not the same. There's anything wrong with it. I think you do conditioning work, but I'm just talking in terms of things that you can do right now that you're willing to do. You can build to that point if you really want to do more conditioning work or more, say, high intensity or longer steady state work, which walking is still steady state. So, I wouldn't punt on it. I still think it's important. But for most people, it's going to be relatively simple. And, it doesn't need to be that complicated either.
I had a client who, I love her to death, but she had some bad conditioning, pun intended, right. In terms of conditioning. Like, she, just fitness in general, like, she was constantly being, like, you know, oh, I'm not losing weight. I want to do more, like, low-intensity, high-rep stuff. And, like, you know, just basically, like, she would give me just such awful recommendations.
She wants to move more.
Yeah, like, she would be like, oh, like, well, I'm going to get some one-pound dumbbells, and you can show me. Like, she basically wanted me to do, like, a Zumba class with her. I was like, listen, like, number one, no, that's not what I do.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a fucking Zumba instructor. Go find a Zumba instructor if that's what you want.
Yeah.
But, like, also, too, I was like, you just told me that you knew you fucked up this weekend because you spent a weekend on, you know, your fucking boyfriend's boat, and we're just drinking and fucking eating the entire weekend.
Yeah.
Like, what's the real problem? And she'd always be like, well, I'm just so winded. We work out so much, but I'm so winded every time I go up my stairs. And I don't understand. Like, I could walk around the city and do 15,000 steps, and all of a sudden I go up my stairs and I'm winded. I was like, well, maybe you should just practice going up your stairs. Because like, it's very clear that that specific ask of your body is too much.
Yeah.
Like, walking and going up the stairs are tremendously different activities. So, like, you can up your steps to 50,000 a day.
That's not going to make a difference, really.
Yeah, it's not going to have anything to do with your ability to go up the stairs and not become winded.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe if you're really... First of all, why do you care that you're winded when you get to the top of the stairs? You're probably not that winded. Yeah. You've probably just made it into a thing.
It's also the thing that people think is, like, because I work out, I should never breathe heavy.
Yeah. I breathe heavy, not even in an exercise context, multiple times. Like, sometimes I'll just get fucking anxious.
Yeah. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it, too. I mean, I'm breathing heavy right now, but I also don't do a shit ton of conditioning. I guess I'm breathing heavy. It's like, what's the exercise bulk I do? Yeah, my body weight's, I guess, a little bit heavier, but I'm training for powerlifting kind of right now, so it's not a priority for me.
Training for that virtual meet?
Yeah.
Is that what they're doing nowadays, virtual meets?
No, they're live, but I haven't decided if I'm going to do a real meet or just a mock meet. I don't know if I really want to devote the resources to that right now.
What do you think would, not that I think that you should, if you enjoy it, then rock on, but... Yeah. What do you think would get you to a point where you don't give a shit about powerlifting anymore?
Something else. Just like, for me right now, it's just something to focus on. Just I like having like an extreme kind of activity to focus on, something that's like very measurable. Mm. This is what always kind of happens to me too, is I like training right now. I do. What ends up happening is it's just so as specific as you get. Like, the longer you get into a specific program, the more you kind of, like, for me anyway, I kind of, like, yearn for, it's a joke, yearn for, like, oh, I just want to do some, like, other, like, I yearn for just being an exerciser sometimes.
Yeah.
It's the reality of, like.
It's fun.
Choosing specificity over just, like, health in general, which is, an important touchstone for people who are like trainers or just in general. Like, if you've always trained specificity for yourself and then you have clients who are not specificity based clients, which most of them are not. I'm just going to let all of you know, if you're anybody you're listening, keep that in mind. Your client does not care how much they can squat. They don't care how much they can deadlift. And if you think you're kind of bored of your program, you have a reason to be there, right? Like, you have to show up for a meet if that's important to you. If you want to, you know, get a faster mile time or be a better runner or be a better swimmer, whatever it is, that matters to you. It does not matter to your client. And if you're bored, they are definitely bored, because the goal to them is matters even less. Like, you get to stand on a platform, you get to have your name somewhere, you get a total or something like that, you get a medal, you get some accomplishments. They don't get anything besides the feeling that they've squatted more. To me, it's do stuff that they like. Do stuff that's going to get them better. It's going to, like, drive, get them to work hard, like I said before.
Yeah.
You know, it just, that shit doesn't matter at all. And it's also, yeah, again, it's when you're in that world of, like, specificity for so long, I feel like sometimes you forget.
I used to make fun of the hot and sweaty trainer, which is what I used to describe, like, somebody who doesn't really have a program for their client. They just kind of play a trick on them, and then they get them really hot and sweaty, and they feel like, oh my god, what a workout that was.
Yeah, but some people really need that. Like, I think super type A people need that.
I don't make fun of those trainers anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, I, like, think that has a time and their place.
Especially for a beginner.
Yeah, I think most stuff, like, well, to me, what that speaks to is, like, some people need to be shown how to, like, what effort is, or, like, how hard they are working and how much harder they could be working. Right. That's why I like those, like, AMRAP sets or something like that. Because it's like, this is where you were, and when I told you to do as much as you could, you had, like, 12 more in the tank.
Are you familiar with Andy Stumpf?
No, who's that?
He was a former Navy SEAL. He's, like, Jocko's buddy.
Yeah.
But he gives some keynote speeches on, you know, different, like, gyms around the country. He seems to focus mostly on, like, fitness stuff.
Yeah.
And he's some sort of crazy, like, mountain climber, or I think he's like a, like, cliff diving, or so. Like, he just is an extreme guy in general. I mean, as you can imagine from a former Navy SEAL.
That's cool.
But he had a gym for a while, and he actually used to talk about how his whole goal was that he wanted 100% success rate with if someone came to him and said, I want to lose 100 pounds or I want to bench 400, like, he was like, okay, we're going to do that.
Yeah.
Like, if you stay here, we're going to do that.
Yeah.
But it was his stated goal to make them quit as quickly as possible. He's like, I'm going to try, like, because that's how he weeded out the people who weren't really serious about it.
Well, that's easier to get to your 100%.
Yeah, and it's shocking how many people don't really appreciate what is going to be necessary. Like, a lot of people need to do a better job goal selecting because most people don't actually want what they think that they want.
I think it's like, that's why I brought up, like, games earlier.
Yeah.
Because to get a specific goal, I have to outline, okay, this is the game we're going to play.
Yeah.
All right. You want fat loss and you want to improve your squat 100 pounds and you want to run this. And then I have to, okay, so I have to outline the rules of the program, otherwise game. All right. You have to do all, now five crazy things. Do you really want to do this?
Yeah.
You're going to turn around and say, oh, that's what it takes? No.
Yeah.
It's not. The rules of, like, you can't play that game and you're going to get sick of that game pretty quickly. And then not to mention just the activities we need to do, because all that stuff, by the way, nobody, I don't think anybody actually does or does them well. Two, it's also like you have to do the same things over and over again, over and over and over again.
I've had a conversation multiple times with various clients of mine through the years where I've said, like, listen, you have a good life. Like, so what? You're not lean.
Yeah.
Like, you have a really awesome social life. You and your husband go out all the time. You have a great group of friends who clearly you just do a lot of things together. You're always having something on the calendar socially. Mm-hmm. So what? You're 20 pounds overweight. Is your blood work fine? Yeah? Okay. Well, then maybe that's just fine. Like,
personally, none of this stuff matters, really. It's just like the world we live in kind of tells us it does, and it really doesn't. Like, you're not really like, once you get lean, right? Like, what do you want to do? You don't want to be lean for very long. And nobody actually, like, cares either.
You just want to take a few photos, and then you're right back to a healthy body
weight.
It's
like, what do you have to do to maintain that? You have to sacrifice a lot of happiness, probably. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing if you're happy there, but it's going to be so much, such a small portion of the population. Or it doesn't matter. And also, I think we're under the impression, too, that for some reason people think we're, I don't know, we're not more valuable or, like, more attractive, really, because we look better. And even if they decide to, like, if that's the reason they choose to, like, pick us or whatever, if that's what we're thinking of anyway, because people do it for, like, a lot of people get into the gym because they, like, left a relationship.
Yeah.
Or trying to get in one or trying to date more people. Because that's the reason I think most of us do the things we do is to, you know, be a more attractive partner or something like that. I don't want to say people don't care about their looks. They do, but there's so many other things that they care about more that it's not as important as people think it is.
Yeah.
But, like, magazines and you know, movies and stuff like that kind of tell us it is. And it is
now
at
social
first,
media.
It is one of the first things you're going to look at, but once you get to know somebody or you know, spend enough time with somebody, you kind of tend to overlook those things.
It's
I
funny.
Think.
If you were to analyze, like, in what context do looks matter a significant amount, I'd say if your exclusive, for lack of a better expression, like, mating strategy is, like, Tinder, Bumble, and social media, then yes, looks matters a ton. They just matters a ton. If you're
nobody sustains relationships based off of that alone. Well, some
exactly.
People, like, not a good one in my mind, anyway.
But, like, if you're just trying to meet somebody in life, like, just, I don't know, a coworker, a friend of a friend, someone who you're going to have repeated exposure to, then it's been my experience that, like, level of analysis is just very, it only matters in extremely sort of brief and shallow settings.
Yeah, what I'm trying to say kind of is, like, the extreme amounts of attractant, like, you don't need to be 5% body fat.
Yeah.
You don't need to, you don't need to have
23-inch biceps.
So many extreme, like super normal levels of, like, all these things. It's, like, just you need to be good enough.
Yeah.
And that's how most things, like, in fitness, too, is the same thing. It's, like, you just need to be good enough.
There's a sort of threshold.
Yeah, and it's the same with, like, athletics too. Is, like, the best baseball player doesn't have, like, the highest bench press. They just have enough of a bench press or enough strength to be able to you know, do what it is they need to do.
Yeah.
If they even use a bench, but they probably don't even use a bench
baseball,
press.
No, they'll never touch
terrible.
A bench press. Yeah.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, like, they have, like, that maybe Swiss bar.
Yeah.
Bench press, not a straight barbell bench press. I don't know. I don't train baseball players, but.
I'll tell you what. Eric Cressy does, and that motherfucker knows an awful lot about shoulders.
Yeah.
So if you. If you ever have a shoulder ailment, really. Let me solve your problem.
Yeah.
Go to ericcressy.com and read everything he's ever written about shoulders.
Yeah.
That's
yeah, that was the point. It's like the goals you want, you don't even want that much, and nobody even cares if you got them anyway. So why don't you just do something that like you're going to enjoy to get you enough of what you need, because you'll probably be much happier anyway.
You know, it almost overwhelmed me sometimes, like when I would go about the task of working with people in a fitness context and think about these various things. Mm-hmm. I often came out of my relationship with my relationship with that sort of industry thinking that what we really need is not more trainers but more therapists. Because like, I can't tell you how many times like
yeah,
you know,
half these people who are, I think, like actually training.
And I'm not making fun of therapy. I do it myself.
That's kind of like piggybacks of what the last thing I just talked about.
Yeah.
It's impressions that, to me, like, have been put on them. They're not actually, like, original thoughts. It's not like if they didn't have any outside influence, they would have thought, oh, my body should be, like, this body fat, or my butt should look like this, or my shoulder should look like this or that. It's never really, like, their own. It's just peer pressure. That's, like, not in high school anymore. It's just the world telling you.
Yeah.
You know, you need to look this way.
I mean, if I had a nickel for every time someone came and, like, I could tell that they were either trying to, like, improve their body composition to stay in a dysfunctional relationship or an unhealthy relationship, I was like, your goal is next level bad. Like, not only is it a vain goal, but it's also to, like, you know, you're going to work this hard to change your body just to stay in an already unhealthy relationship.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then, you're like, if I don't get to this body fat, this person who's already terrible for me is going to leave me. Like, Jesus, like the hoops that you have to jump through to just maintain that level of fucking.
No, I shouldn't say that's the most. That's not like crazy common.
This is also like not like, yeah, I'm not saying everybody's like this. But like some degrees of separation where that's not so unfamiliar, not so weird. I'm sure somebody can relate. Like their life is not exactly like that, but. We've really zoomed out, you know, what were the real influences, the things that were making you change? Because to me, most of the time, it's not, people don't care about health. I'm sorry, I don't think people do.
No,
they don't. That's not what gets people to go. It only happens when you had like a heart attack or like you realize and you can't stand up.
Yeah.
It's never like, oh, I should do that before I can't stand up, or I should do this before I have a heart attack. It's like, I had the heart attack, now I need to because I'm going to die.
Yeah.
The things that get people doing things are like, kind of like what we talked about.
When the fear of inaction outweighs the fear of action. That's usually when you get those types of people.
Yeah. Or it's, I was just thinking of like, fear of loss.
Yeah.
Like they thought they're going to die, or they thought they're going to lose a partner, or, they need something, like there's something missing and they think the fitness is the void, or it doesn't have to be fitness. It could be anything else. Yeah.
It's a tough fucking field, man. Like, I respect it for continuing to do it because it is just, like, I know everything is a people business, but holy shit. Like, it is a people business to the degree that nothing else could possibly even be a people business. Like, it is, like, I'm in real estate, which everybody always says, oh, it's such a people business.
Mm-hmm.
Bullshit. Nothing compared to training.
Yeah.
Nothing compared to training.
Why do you say that?
Because, I mean, just...
Your relationships are shorter. That's definitely one thing.
Yeah, and it's...
Intimacy is different.
It's very transactional, too. Like, you're just working together for a short period of time. There's nothing personal about it. It's just kind of like, hey, I'm going to answer the questions related to this specific area of your life for a few weeks, and then we'll never see each other again.
Right.
Whereas in fitness, it's like, we're going to go on a fucking journey together. Like, we're going to see each other for hours a week. I mean, I have probably spent thousands of hours with certain clients. Now... I love all my current clients to death. That's why I continue to do it. Like, otherwise, if I didn't have that group of people, I would no longer be doing this at all.
Right.
I'm at that point, but I really love that group of people. Like, they're just awesome. Truly doesn't feel like work. Yeah.
So you
friends.
Get to a level of intimacy with them is that you have like no choice to become friends, because otherwise this is how I function. It's like, if I don't like somebody, I don't want to really work with them.
Yeah.
So it has no choice but to have at some point has to develop some level of like intimacy, and we need to know each other.
And I think that they get just as much from the actual training as they do the conversation at this point.
Yeah.
Because, like,
at some point, yeah.
You know, it's just like I know them very well. I mean, when they ask for my opinion on shit, I think it has become an opinion that they generally value because I've spent hundreds of hours with these people.
That's the other thing, though, too, especially right now, too, is when people can't see all their friends. This is like something that they value, so they can go and talk with somebody, and it's healthy for them both mentally from talking to somebody, mentally from doing something physically, mentally from progressing, just from so many different avenues, just the progress and just the having somebody listen to you and having somebody motivating you and telling you to keep going, and, you know, it's really. Yeah.
Or even just knowing that someone's in your calendar who's going to make you do shit you don't want to do.
Yeah, hold you accountable.
Like that really,
that's the thing we all kind of need too. I need it sometimes.
Fuck yeah, I need it all the time.
You know?
It's
hard, man. It's fucking hard. it's also too, it's like, that's actually one thing I think I want to talk about today. You go ahead first though.
There you go. I like where you're going there.
Yeah, it's like a weird, like, kind of gun to your head that is also not there right now.
Yes.
I know for my job.
Yeah.
It's like you can sit at home and feel like you don't have to do anything because the whole world's light switch is just turned off.
Yeah.
So you can kind of sit around and just do nothing. But at the same time, it's like, do I really want that to be the excuse for me to not do anything? And also, too, I know, too, is, like, I've struggled with this sometimes. It's, like, I know some of my friends, even some of my clients, I think, too, is, like, when we don't have something to do, something that we are working on, that's when that, like, depression or anxiety comes in.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to come in, I'm telling you, like, soon with the winter, with us all being locked in our houses, and you can't build, and you can't. You don't have that project because work's not there. You have that project that's constantly in your life, so at least something is there. Now you have to, like, give yourself a job, in theory. That's how I kind of think of it.
Yeah.
And that's really hard sometimes, especially, too, when you don't have anybody to, like, communicate with, or you don't have anybody to, like, ping ideas off of. Like, hey, I'm really struggling with this right now. Like, what do you think I should do? Or not even what I should do, like, just somebody to listen to or just kind of, like, empathize with. Like, last week, actually, like, I've been, like, kind of, I'm trying to work on my business, but I'm honestly, like, there's parts where I'm, like, dude, I'm stuck again, and it's, like, you know, you beat yourself up for it, and it's, like, well, what can I do? What can I do here?
It's hard to research things to do to improve your business now when you literally cannot execute any of them.
Yeah, well, I'm, like, building, like, it feels like I'm on this, like, ledge that, oh, like, I'm on this cliff, and now I'm extending this ledge vertically. And I'm extending it as I go. So, like, what else can I do? Well, I'm already on this ledge, so it feels kind of, like, hard. That's why I got into, like, a mentorship. Because one is, like, talking about buy-in before is, like, I needed to buy into myself to do it. That's part of it. but it's also, like, I have other people who are going through the same thing. You know? It's, like, it's a community.
Yeah.
And I was going to mention this before, but, like, that's really important. It's something that's, like, loss is it's, like, feels we don't have, like, a community. To kind of, like, you know, of people to, like, be around that are, like, you know, interested in the same things we are or not, just, you know, have that kind of gathering.
Man, I have a lot of thoughts about everything you just said.
Yeah, well, I think that really, too, is going back to it just real quick is I think, like, we were talking about dating even before.
Yeah.
And I think part of it, I think, is hard, too, because we also just feel like we don't have any semblance of community.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier, I think, to pick prospects of people who you want to date. And this is not a cop out, but, like, when you're already in a community, like, whether you do a sport or an art or a craft, you already know, like, you guys have, like, a basis of things to talk about and to, like, communicate about. But when you're just going back to, like, kind of our online thing, it's like, you're not really sure actually if you have anything in common or not. And it makes it really hard to build something, like, foundational. It's the same thing with, like, like, kind of how we're doing, like, right now. It just kind of feels like everything's kind of do what I can. You
know? Yeah, it's well, let me first begin with the whole, like, gun to your head it's always there. Like,
it's always there, but it's like, that's not there. Fucking do something else.
I've had a really strange experience with that throughout the pandemic because I've never worked harder.
Yeah, the same. I have worked hard, yeah. But I feel like I've been like really motivated and really sustained being able to do that, which is fine.
It you know, I know many people in my immediate circle who kind of treated this as like the longest snow day ever.
Yeah, actually, that's what's like, I know that's a death trap for me.
It's a death trap for me as well, and it's scary for a number of reasons, but, you know, I also think that, like, the fundamental sort of problem in my life that I've yet to solve is that as I've grown, I've realized throughout my life how much I've repressed, and I have an interesting story because, you know, a lot of people who shove down certain things about their personality do so because there's some profound damage.
Yeah.
Because something happened when they were a kid. To my knowledge, I do not have any of that. If someone abused me when I was a kid, not to poke fun at this, but they did a great job because I don't remember
hiding
any of
it. Yeah.
Because I truly don't. Now, maybe after like 10 years of therapy, something will like come to, I don't know. But so I got nothing for anybody right now. Like, yeah. I pretty rosy childhood.
Right.
But for whatever reason, like I'm discovering that I am a pretty creative person, or that I desire to be a pretty creative person.
Yeah.
And the problem is I've gone down this sort of path of money and capitalism and entrepreneurship and all this type of shit. And
sure.
You know, that it's been a time trap. And the fundamental problem with my life is that I have all of this intake and not a lot of output.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is the mechanism that controls my anxiety. Like, I've described my anxiety to my parents, my therapist many times. It's like a fishing net. You got two sides of the fishing net. And all, like, I love to be curious and to learn. I know that sounds douchey to say that I like that, but I don't know. It is what it is. I enjoy it. Like, if you went to my YouTube save for later fucking list,
yeah.
I have 14,000 videos on that.
Yeah, okay.
My podcast listen later thing has another 5,000 podcasts. You're talking, yeah. Like, you should see my Notion page, the amount of web pages I have saved.
Yeah.
It's thousands upon thousands. Like, I could never complete what I have.
Yeah.
I've gathered enough data that I want to consume that I probably would have to spend the rest of my life doing it.
Yeah.
And my output is like, it's like I'm accumulating thousands and thousands and thousands of fish on one side of the net. Only one fish at a time is escaping.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that too. I think that's a lot of people's problem. I don't think that's, yeah, no, I think that's like, yeah, it's like preparing to act.
Yeah.
Then that's not exactly what you're doing, but like, to me, I recognize that kind of behavior too, because I was like kind of, I still am kind of like that.
It's fucking killing me, man. Yeah. And like, I've done all these things. I don't dislike anything that I do professionally. I don't dislike any of the things that I do to make money.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, you just have to make the hard decision of, I need to make time for this or else.
Yeah, well, it's also, I was going to say too, is it's like one thing if you're making a lot of money, but you don't feel like any of it's like really from you. Like, what I mean is, like, it's from your output. It's, like, it's from, like, the output that was designated to you. Like, you need to sell more houses. But, like, you're not selling your houses your way.
Yeah.
Or you're not training people your way. You're training people based on how the gym told you need to train people.
Correct. Yeah.
You know? So that's kind of how I'm seeing.
And even, like, to use, like, one of my favorite creators at the moment is Meet Kevin. I really like his YouTube channel.
Yeah.
He's, like, my home base right now. Like, I watch a video of his almost every day.
Yeah.
I've spent a decent amount of money on his courses, which are all excellent, by the way.
Okay.
Cool. I'll actually link you to that. You would really enjoy his personal finance course. Yeah. And he seems like you're kind of have a budding interest in that, so it'd be good for you. I also spend a lot of money for it, so you're fucking welcome. you know, what he's done is effectively create a news channel on his YouTube channel, which is great. Mm-hmm. I really benefit. I don't watch the news ever. I couldn't tell you the last time I sat in front of my TV at 7 o'clock and watched the nightly news.
Yeah.
Probably not since I moved out of my parents' house. They're news people. I am not. But I watch his YouTube channel because it's coming from somebody who, you know, sounds like me, is my age, has my type of experiences, blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah. But I would never, like, my interest in doing this, my interest in doing any creative project is, like, authenticity. And to just say the news, like, that's cool. I benefit from his product. I have massive respect for it, but it would not scratch my particular artistic itch.
Yeah.
Because I'm just regurgitating news. Like, there's nothing deep about that. There's nothing that's digging down to express components of yourself about, like, there's nothing to it.
Yeah.
In that regard.
Well,
and
you're asking yourself to do something that's like, I think, like, if you really want to be as original and as authentic as possible, I think it's going to be the most difficult.
Mm.
Not just doing it, but also, like, just having other people, not even, like, a like it or, I think it's just, like, a lonely process.
Yeah.
Like, it takes, like, if you really want to do things to your ideals and you really want to do things that feel authentic, part of you doing that is kind of like working on, I feel like you're kind of like working on yourself simultaneously as you do that. That's hard. So, and then it's much easier to like regurgitate information in a way that is really poppy and bubblegummy.
Yeah.
You know, that's really easy. Like, I don't know, this is not the same, but like Van Gogh was a great painter, right? But nobody fucking liked his stuff when he was alive.
Yeah. By the way, quick aside.
So you're not going to do it for capitalistic reasons, likely, but it may be, you know, it would be cool if you did, you know, because then people would acknowledge in your lifetime that your stuff is valuable.
Super quick aside. Have you ever watched the Doctor Who episode where he takes Van Gogh to
Yeah, that's what I was thinking
that's
of.
Fucking beautiful,
oh, that's,
man.
Dude, me and my boy. Oh, man, it's so, like, heartwarming.
That is
so
at
the
good.
End, at the end where they bring Van Gogh. So if for you guys who don't know, what happens if you don't know Doctor Who is a... an alien, but he looks human. He has two hearts. And he's been traveling, you know, for, we'll say a millennia.
Through time.
Through time, space, wherever. Different versions of Earth and stuff like that. And he always has a companion. It's usually female and sometimes male, though, too. And there's one particular episode. I don't remember how or why, but they get to the time when Vincent Van Gogh had lived. And
it brings so a tear great. To your eye, like it really does. It's an
they
excellent
start
scene.
Out in an art museum looking at one of his pieces, and some for some reason they decide to go to about the time when he created that piece. And when they come back, they bring Van Gogh to with them in a modern day, and they hear the
they take art, him to his exhibit.
The curator kind yeah. of talking about Van Gogh, and they say Van Gogh was the like greatest, most talented artist alive. And this is like right before Van Gogh decides to like kill himself.
Yeah.
And like, dude, it's the most. Oh, man,
it's
most
a wonderful,
heartwarming. Like, they really like hit you in the fucking the heartstrings there because it's like, yeah, it's like one of those things. It's like they know they're trying to make you cry. It's so good though.
It sounds weird though, but like, I actually would be okay with that. Like, if you told me that, I mean, I know that's torturous, but like, I'm never like this sounds like the douchiest thing to ever say in the world. No way, shape, or form am I comparing myself to probably one of the most famous artists of all time.
Yeah.
But whatever I do in life, whatever I decide to do, however I decide to express myself, I don't know what it is yet. Maybe it's this, maybe it's another thing. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
If you told me that, like, I never saw great success for that in my lifetime, but after I died, there would be like a legacy.
Yeah.
I think I would be okay with that.
Right.
Because at least I did it, and at least it, like, it saw, like, I don't know if I don't know if it's a wise thing to do to release creativity and expect that it needs, like, I think that's part of being creative, is it not?
What?
Is knowing that this is you're putting this out there forever.
Yeah.
This is going to be here when you're not.
Mm-hmm.
That's a part of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, is that tragic? That's why that scene is so beautiful.
Well,
it's fucking
also,
tragic, but
yeah, I guess it's too is like some really good art, like it kind of like transcends time. It's always relevant.
Yes.
You know, like good books, even though like there's parts of the Bible definitely you can still relate to.
Yeah.
Albeit a lot of it is like it's hard to say what it's actually talking about, what it means. And
yeah.
It's been like, you know, retranslated and misunderstood and re-understood in all different ways. But, you know, great books and stuff like that, hundreds of years later, people still read them. You know, there's still a lot to be gleaned from them. Art's the same thing, I think, yeah, too.
I wanted to say something, too, about when you said, you know, sometimes not having that goal, not having that driving force,
mm-hmm.
and you almost get met with a bit of, like, anxiety and depression and this sort of thing.
Yeah.
I've had this reality that I've begun to accept that I actually think that in certain contexts, and it's a context that I think I'm living through right now, I think I need more than anything to sit back and get hit by that truck.
Yeah.
Because I've been go, since I can remember.
Yeah.
I've never not had two jobs.
Yeah.
Since I've been an adult, independent human, I have had at least two jobs at all times. And I've never had that opportunity just to have like a quiet day or to journal or to focus on more creative endeavors and try to get to the bottom of. Now, I have certain things built into my schedule. I've been trying to meditate more often. I've been trying to, I mean, I've been a therapy patient for 2 years now. That's certainly helped. But one of the reasons I quit drinking was because one of my central philosophies around life is the idea of feedback. And I thought that drinking really clouded feedback.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons I don't drink coffee anymore. Yeah. Because if I'm not interested in masking anything. If I'm tired, I don't want to drink coffee to change that. I need to know that I'm tired so I can fix that problem.
Mm.
That's just how my brain works.
Okay.
Like if I wake up and I'm tired every day and need coffee, there's something amiss. My sleep is inadequate. My diet is inadequate. Something, and maybe I'm depressed. Something is happening. And I'm not interested in neglecting to be hit by that feedback. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's extreme.
Sure. I mean, and part of the reason I'm not an unhappy person, but part of the reason that I'm probably not the most happy-go-lucky guy in the world is because I have that philosophy.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously you have to learn to forgive yourself. Like sometimes it's okay to feel sad.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's okay to feel tired. Sometimes random shit happens. So I'm not saying, I guess I would have to be more specific in saying that it's like trends too that I'd like to notice, not just like, you know, assume that my sleep patterns are bullshit because I'm tired one day.
Yeah.
But as it relates to this, like, at what point does the busyness become just like the coffee?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, like, you know,
like maybe wait. It's like sometimes I try to meditate. Do you ever just spontaneously meditate? Do you ever just spontaneously just sit on your couch? Like,
not really.
Is you function by the planner, always by the planner? Because it's hard for a robot to be creative.
Yeah, I've never. You and I have had topics. I've had discussions rather about calendaring and scheduling.
Yeah.
There's something in me. I just can't schedule everything. It just feels too robotic.
You can't. Yeah, it's, yeah, yeah. I mean, you can't, it's, I don't know, if you're an artist, maybe you need to schedule that creative time, like, it's because it's work.
Yeah.
But if you're not, maybe it's also sometimes, like, you just need to be like, yo, I don't need to be fucking go all the time.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, being super, I need to be productive all, busy versus productive, talk about that, but you need time to think and reflect on what you're doing, and sometimes it's hard to appraise the direction of your life if you're always constantly moving.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're not actually moving forward, really, in the way that you want to be, because you're so busy all the time. You don't have the time to ask yourself any questions or actually, like, sit down and, like, decompress. It's recovery.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's recovery.
You know, it's
I have a hard time doing that, too. But it's like, I think I talked about this with my friend before I came here. We were sitting down. He was getting into his art and talking about that. I think I was talking about, like, we were talking about, like, you know, I can do art and it'll make me feel 10 times better than playing a game would. And I'm like, yeah, but we're separating. We're not treating those the same. Like, playing a game and playing a video game and doing art are different things. Like, that is a constructive activity. Playing video games is like dessert. It's like I don't have dessert until all my meals are finished, so I don't do it until the end of the day. But it's also my vegetation time.
Yeah,
you know?
Which is important.
Yeah, it's veg time, but it's also like it's nothingness time.
Yeah,
you know, it's not where it's like planned. But if I start my day with ice cream, and everything else tastes like shit, right? No, I don't really want to eat anything else. And then this is kind of like a twofold metaphor. It's like if I start off with that, it's such a stimulating activity that I don't want to do anything else.
Well, we were talking before about, you know, the different options that are available to one in a dating context.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's like short, medium, and long-term options, yeah. Right? And my critique that I've discovered of anything that happens to be short-term would be equating it to pizza.
Yeah, you talk. Yeah, sometimes you just need pizza.
Yeah, like
as
I don't.
As is the pizza okay with being pizza?
I don't envision. I mean, that's an excellent question to ask, but you know, I don't envision some sort of like Quaker society where, you know, you never want to have pizza or you demonize the idea of having pizza.
Yeah,
that's not an effective way to run a human or to run a society. But you know, it's.
But if you do enough pizza all the time, you start to feel like shit and question, is there more to life than just, is everything just pizza?
Yeah, like if you told me that I can exclusively have pizza, that I never got to actually eat healthful food, I would jump off the Ben Franklin immediately.
Yeah.
You know, like it's about finding for each individual that sort of pizza line. Yeah. Like what is enough pizza for you?
Yeah.
And is there a point, and if we're talking about a relationship context, I guess everybody would be different, but for many people, I think it becomes a point in which they've had enough pizza.
I think we're trying to turn pizza into a sustainable meal, maybe. Does that make sense? Am I just talking crazy?
No, I think that's exactly what many people try to do. Or I have a particular friend. Let me use a specific example.
I didn't think about that metaphor at all. I was like, yeah, this sounds right. I don't fucking know.
Like, I have a friend who I think like many things in life, you can start... And let me be clear. The reason I'm saying pizza is because for reasons in my past, I still feel uncomfortable talking about relationship things on this show,
mm-hmm.
which I've told you in private, but I don't know if I've ever. So I'm going to keep rolling with the pizza example. For any of people listening, just keep going. With me here.
Yeah.
But. And now I've lost my train of thought because I went on a soliloquy.
Okay. That's all good. It sounded like you were going to say it's fine to start with pizza.
Okay,
I
think
that's where you're going.
Like many things, as it relates to the context of dating and this expression we're using of pizza as like a short-term relationship type thing, like a short-term hookup culture, whatever you want to describe it as, I think that many people will begin to sort of shield themselves with pizza.
Yeah.
They will start to shield themselves in these long-term, and they will convince themselves that they're not interested in anything long-term because I can get pizza whenever I want it.
And I'll have pizza every meal.
Yeah. And, you know, a conversation we were having before we turned the mics on was...
And soon you would develop only a taste for pizza and everything else tastes really weird and you don't want to have that. Broccoli is disgusting.
Yeah,
or... I want to have a chicken breast because that's... might be healthy for me, but it's also flavorless.
And it's like if you actually...
we're fucking...
If it's like, you know, you want to have...
I feel kind of decent with that today.
Yeah, yeah. It's... Yeah.
Keep going, sorry.
If you want to get to the point where you have what you really want, which is a healthy body and a great physique, sometimes you're not gonna start with pizza. You're gonna start with chicken and broccoli.
Yeah.
And you're gonna have to eat that chicken and broccoli for a while because guess what? That chicken and broccoli, it may challenge you a bit. Yeah. Like I think I have this theory that a lot of people avoid long term relationships because they're afraid of being challenged. And
or I think some people get them because they'll get with somebody who won't challenge them, and they know they can kind of hold the leash or wear the pants or whatnot. Where they know if somebody who has actually matched them, they would realize maybe how much they need to work on themselves.
That's a tough fucking. I know I had a point there, but I just kind of want to talk about this now too. But
yeah.
Man, like we've talked about it before on the show, but that balance between when you're in a friendship and. You see someone fucking up and maybe the person doesn't have the same desire to be like, you know, an interesting thing my therapist once taught me was that I always critiqued myself as a person for most of my life who is self-deprecating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, like I'm going to say what I believe, but I'm going to shit on myself first before so that like, you know, you don't actually take me too seriously.
Yeah.
Or I can say whatever I want because I already shit on myself.
Yeah.
And I think there is a technique there, right? Like,
yeah.
You don't want to just come off as a know-it-all.
It's the shit sandwich.
Yeah.
Instead of the compliment sandwich.
Precisely. It's the shit sandwich. But, you know, one of the things we talked about is, like, both the self-deprecator and the know-it-all are using that as a defense mechanism to never have to expose themselves to potentially being wrong.
Yeah, to never be vulnerable.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's tough because oftentimes when I'm in friendships that I find myself in a deep disagreement with a friend or a consistent set of disagreements, I don't want to come off as the know-it-all. Like, I really just have no... That repulses me, that I would ever be perceived as such.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think now in many contexts, I've almost discredited myself because I've prefaced everything I've ever said. Well, hey, what the fuck do I know? I'm just some fucking ass. You know, like,
sometimes
it's...
Sometimes it's better to not say anything.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I think it's just... you're better off not saying anything because you're just going to shit on it anyway, no matter how much you try, maybe. and just wait for that person that you think needs help to actually come with you and say they need help.
Because maybe they won't.
Maybe they won't. And, like, so I'm a believer in that, like, the world will kind of show you, or the world will kind of show you through, like, repeated trial and error of you making the same mistakes, trying to say, hey, like, try to show you keep making the same accident over and over again.
Yeah.
Do you want to keep making this accident? If you do, then as you were. If you don't, sit back for a second and kind of take it in. Or ask a friend, hey, like, have you noticed this about me, this particular pattern that I follow, that I tend to follow? What is your understanding of that? And take what you will. That's the other thing, too, is sometimes we can also... I've definitely been in this experience before where somebody will say something and based on where you're at in your life, those words, they just don't sink in. Like, you ever read a book 10 years ago and you come back and it almost means something else? Like,
yeah.
That line,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like that, man. Like, I don't think communication is always that
precise.
Like, you're communicating it with the understanding of what you're saying based on your life and your experiences, but that person who may have even known those experiences has not interpreted them the same way and has not felt them the same way you can. So your words, they just, like, it almost begs a question sometimes. It's not to get to, sometimes don't like this either, because I like to have that understanding that we are as much on the same page as possible, because this can be easily used as a defense mechanism for, like, I just say in general, but, like,
yeah.
Communication is one of those things where it's almost never, it really can't be, I understand exactly what you're saying. I need that, but we need that life experience in order for us to really understand what that person's words meant.
Yeah. I've had this, my mother is constantly frustrated with me, mm-hmm. because I'll call her with this realization that I've had.
Yeah, she's like, I told you that 7 years ago. Yeah. Yep.
And I'm always like, I'm sorry, I just needed to learn it.
I function that way, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know,
and I guess giving our friends the same leash.
Yeah, the same. Yeah, exactly. It's like, I've seen that time and time. It's tough sometimes when somebody's really screwing up. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just get away from that person because you know you can't hold yourself back. And
yeah.
I've had to do that before.
There is a level. Yeah.
I see you just fucking butchering yourself here. And here's the thing that's going to happen to me. I look at it two ways. Either you get out and you let that person just screw up. And you hope that they've put it together. Or the other thing, too, is, like, you start putting your foot in that mud, and it just gets worse and dirtier.
Yeah, that's...
And
that's...
Just, yeah, it ain't no good. So you got to find that boundary where you got to... Okay, what's the best course of action here? Is me actually saying anything going to make a difference, or is it actually just going to create a bigger divide? Or is actually... And it might even, in fact, motivate them to continue the behavior, if you were like me, you know, when I was younger, for sure. I'm still probably like that to some degree now.
I have a particular friend right now who I'm dealing with, and there's a lot of, like, relationship type stuff that we disagree about.
Yeah.
And this individual, and I'm not saying this to shit on him, but this individual has never had a serious one.
Yeah.
He's never been in a long-term committed relationship. And I'm almost like, I don't mean to just, like, to poke fun at him, but I almost laugh sometimes, like, just wait, dude. Like, the shit you're going through right now, like, this shit, like, just wait.
Right.
Like, you don't, and I'm not saying everybody's pain is equal. Like, just because I was in a relationship and he wasn't doesn't make me better. It just doesn't mean that anything he's experienced that's been painful in the context of dating isn't as painful as what I've experienced because I was in a relationship and he wasn't. It doesn't mean that, but I think that there are certain similarities between us. That's why we're friends.
Yeah.
And when he engages in that level of, like, I see in him a similar pattern that I have.
You see yourself, and you're probably what you're saying is, hey, man, you may even see the girl that he's seeing is similar to the relationship you've seen, and you're like,
Yeah.
Watch out for this. I dealt with this.
Yeah, yeah. Just having that experience that he didn't have.
Yeah.
And say there are things to look out for.
You can't steer the wheel for him. You're effectively what you're doing is like maybe backseat driving or whatever that's called. I forget the. I'm sure everybody knows what I'm probably talking about. But how annoying is that person? Get the fuck out of the car. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'm driving here. Like.
and it's so frustrating. Cause it's so not my nature. But finally, I had to tell him the other day. I was like, hey man, I'm not gonna bend your ear on this.
Yeah.
We go do your thing.
Yeah.
And you know how I feel? If you ever want to talk about it, I'm here, but I'm not going to bother you with it.
Yeah.
You go do what you're going to do. That
could very well be the best move.
And then one day.
And then like 5 years from now, he'd be like, dude, you were right. Yada, yada. Maybe he won't be. Maybe he'll disprove the.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I've been right the last few. I've been fucking right the last few.
Yep.
And, you know, you would think that he would identify that pattern of me being right about these things and being like, the only reason that I've been right with this particular individual is because we're so similar.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it. Here I am discrediting myself again. But, like, I'm no fucking expert. Or I don't have a ton of experience. I'm not that guy. But, like, he's a similar guy. That's why we're friends. And he has similar patterns.
Yeah.
So, of all people, the one who knows him extremely well and those patterns extremely well, I'm actually well positioned to advise. But, hey, we're going to see.
Yeah.
We're going to see. You know what's endlessly fucking frustrating about these is you hit your fucking flow right when it's time to stop.
Yeah, we're probably about an hour and a half in.
Yep.
Yeah, there it goes. For next time. That's how it goes, guys.
Stand efforting.
Yeah, it took us, I think, like 20 minutes or so to kind of get flowing, and then we kind of found a topic.
Yeah, we had some technical difficulties, too, which...
That's fine.
I always get fucking stressed out about those, and then I can't think about anything else for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like I just don't... Like, once something goes wrong over here, and I'm pointing to my computer... Like, once something goes wrong over here, I just completely lose faith in it ever working again.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm just like, oh, we're just recording here with 90 minutes. Probably sounds like shit. It's all fucking terrible.
Yeah, it's fine. I think it was good.
Well, that's why I like doing these. Even if that's not being recorded, at least we had a useful conversation.
Yeah.
So. All right.
I definitely want to talk about, like, community, I think, a little bit more next time. I still have some things in my head on that.
Well, give me 1 second here.
We'll leave it this next time. Now we'll save it for definitely for
121. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
All right. Godspeed.
All right, folks. See you later.